Leagues Radio Sport.
Good evening, welcome to Saturday Sport Classified. 2 minutes after 5 o'clock, Simon Quine with you till around about 6 o'clock this evening. Coming up then in the next hour or so, Tony Meppham here to look at football throughout today. We'll also have the draw for the GH Corlett Woods Cup quarterfinals coming up very shortly. Dave Christian looking back at a busy day for local rugby, and Ben Cunningham's here to look at hockey results as well. Not only that, we'll have 6 hockey draws to do across the men's and ladies cup, plate and bowl fixtures, which will all be played at the end of this month. That's all coming up between now and 6 o'clock.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed.
But first of all, as always, we will start off with a look at the classified results and begin with football in the GH Corlett Woods Cup first round. It finished St George's 1, Castletown 0, Moran 2, Colby 1. Moving on to the Canada Life Premier League, Braddon 1, Peel 4, Union Mills 3, Douglas High School Old Boys 2, Corinthians 3, Laxey 2, Russian 0, Onchan 4, A 0, St John's 3, and the match between Ramsey and St Mary's was postponed due to the pitch. Arden and Druggan Limited Division 2, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 5, Douglas and District 1. The game between Malou and Douglas Royal was postponed again. Problems with the pitch in that game. Governors Athletic 0, Pull Rose 1. Canada Life Combination 1, Peel 14, Braddon 0. Douglas High School Old Boys 3, Union Mills 0. Laxey 3, Corinthians 4, Onchan 4, Russian 2, St John's 1, Ayr 2, St Mary's 6, Ramsey 2, and Arden and Druggan Limited Combination 2, Douglas and District 0, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 11, Michael 2, Jims 4, Douglas Royal 3, Malou 3, Douglas Athletic 6, Castletown 3. We move on to rugby. Regional 2, North West. Winnington Park 24, Douglas 19. Counties 3, ADM, Lancs and Cheshire. Oldham 27, Ramsey 19. Vagabonds 7, Fleetwood 41. And the women's NC2, North South. Didsbury 32, Vagabonds 24. In hockey in the Men's Premier League, Castletown A 5, Vikings B 0, Backers A 3, Harlequins A 2, Valkyries A 1, Vikings A 3. In the Ladies Premier League, we're awaiting a result in Castletown B against Valkyries A, Harlequins A 0, Backers A 3, Castletown A 5, Vikings A 0. Men's Division 1, Backers B 1, Valkyries B 0, Valkyries C 5, Castletown B 1, and a late game between Harlequins B and Ramsey A is getting underway just about now. Ladies Division 1, Valkyries B 2, Backers B 2, Castletown C 1, Backers C 0, Vikings B 1, Ramsey A 1. And in Men's Division 2, Vikings C 3, Ramsey B 5, awaiting results from Harlequins C against Backers C and Backers Colts against Castletown C. And in Ladies Division 2, Harlequins B 1, Valkyries C 1, again awaiting a result in the game between Ramsey B and Valkyries C. And in the Mixed Under-15s League, Valkyries take on Vikings and Castletown Sabres taking on Backers. We should hopefully have scores for those before the end of the programme. So we'll go back to football, and Tony, we'll start off with the GH Corlett Woods Cup first round games. We'll do the draw for the quarterfinals a little bit later on in the programme. But two big upsets today. We'll start off with the game you were at for us. St George's 1, Castletown 0.
Yeah, huge shock, say. Simon, I know you're always looking for a title to run with. And the top two in Division 2 go out to the GH Corlett Woods Cup in the first time of asking. And, you know, shocks all round. St George's against Castletown. Well, it was, you know, how can I say, it was a hard game at times because there weren't too many chances to, you know, talk about. And, you know, both teams, I wouldn't say cancel each other out, but it was just sort of kick and just hopefully something will come from it. But it was a good goal that sort of split the two teams. And it was just before half time. And it was Sean Quay who took the free kick. Chris Bassett was there to just flick it on. And there was Johnny Quirk to head it past the keeper to, you know, give them the lead. And then second half, you just thought Castellano would come out. But they seem to struggle all day, Castletown, and it's only the second time I've seen them. and it just didn't happen. And when you look at Alex Crowley up front, he's normally an absolute sort of pain to deal with because he's so good. But, you know, when I look at the Geordie side, and credit to Carl Gartland, because, you know, he's really holding it together at St George's. A lot of good young players in there, and it'll take time for them to sort of come through. But when you've got people like Sean Quay at the back, who came on as a substitute sort of 15 minutes into the game, I think he was just late getting to the game, to be fair. Chris Bass was in there, and the young lads can only sort of learn from them. When you've got Kieran McNulty up front, and Kieran had a great opportunity, could have made it 2-0, sort of one-on-one, but he sort of put it wide. I know he's under pressure from the centre-back, but, you know, Kieran, he's done it all and got the T-shirt as well. But, you know, Castletown just didn't really look like scoring. A couple of chances towards the end, Sean Quay managed to clear the danger with his head. But, you know, congratulations to Alex Crowley, the number nine for Castletown. I believe that's his 500th game today, and there's still plenty of games in Alex. And he scored over 300 goals, I'm pretty certain, and he's a formidable goal scorer, and well done to him, because he's had a great career. And I just wonder how many games he would have played if he hadn't had so many red cards, because he's had a few. But we're grateful for that, because he's helped build the FA headquarters. But no, he's a really good player, and he could have gone anywhere, and he stayed loyal with Castletown. And, you know, I'm sure the celebrations in the clubhouse tonight, and enjoy the night, because he deserves it. He's been a great goal scorer.
And we move on to the second game in the JH Corlett Woods Cup. And this is interesting, because last time I was on this programme a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Division 2, and Rob Pritchard was sat opposite me, and he said to look out for Moran, because they've got all these games in hand, and if they win those, they're suddenly in the mix for the top with the top two. They've beaten Colby today. Does that send out a bit of a statement as well?
Yeah,
the
it
league
does.
Standings?
I think Rob only made that statement because I advised him to make that statement. I said, Rob, don't be filling it with Castletown and you know, Colby all the way, because look at Moran, they've only played 9 league games, they've played 10 now. So I'll take the credit on that one. Rob's not having that. But it was 2-0 at half time, and Connor Gilbert got both goals, and well done him. Great performance, evidently, by the manager, Moran. David Brewery just said it was brilliant right the way through, but last 20 minutes you'd expect it, they were running out of steam, because they haven't had many games. And as I said last night to Ben, it was that when you look at D&D have played 16 league games, and you look at Moran, who have played 9, so that's 7 games behind, so 7 weeks, that's nearly 2 months behind in football. But Steve Collister got the goal for Colby. Steve's a regular goal scorer, but Colby will be gutted with that one, because you know, it just had written all over it, you know, maybe a Colby and Castletown Southern Derby final on Good Friday, but it's not going to happen now. And both sets of players will be really disappointed the way it's gone for them today. And to me, it's an open game now in this GH Corlett Woods Cup, and we'll come to the draw later on.
Would you? I mean, I know we've proven today that league form goes out the window in these cup games. Do you think Moran will fancy that now as favourites then?
I think they will, because I think they're quietly confident. You know, Moran have not missed games purely, you know, last week it was called off due to frost on the pitch, and, you know, other games have been lost because of weather conditions. But I think, you know, Moran will chip up with the points and keep the pressure on. I think Colby would love to get promoted. But today, I was disappointed with Castletown's performance. I just thought that it wasn't there at all. To say that they've been bagging so many goals in, it didn't happen, and it's been costly for both teams.
Well, just you might be wondering where Rob is today. He is actually listening, despite not being here.
Is he about to comment in?
And he says he disputes the propaganda that you're disseminating about his Moran predictions. So I'll let you two battle that out on Friday Sport next
There's
week.
There's only one winner there, Rob. Play it again and listen. Sorry.
We'll move on to the Canada Life Premier League games then. And you did go up to, although you were at the Cup game for Estato, you did pop up to see the second half of the Corinthians-Laxey game. Good close game, 3-2 to Corinthians in the end.
Yeah, when I got up there, it was just after half-time, and I think it was 1-1, and Laxey had taken the lead, and then, you know, Corinthians equalised, I think, just before half-time. But, you know, I was just getting a cup of tea and turn around and bang, you know, Laxey had scored within 2 minutes, so they were 2-1 up. But, you know, Corinthians managed to get one back, and it was Dan Simpson it was who got the goal. Then I think the turning point a little bit was, you know, when Ethan Hawley got sent off. He'd been booked earlier on, and then a second bookable offence. You know, Laxey remonstrated that, you know, it wasn't, they didn't think of booking, so it wasn't a red card. But, you know, the referee's there and he's being assessed, so you've got to, you know, do it all always politically correct. And then Corinthians, the third goal, I saw that one. And good goal it was as well, because Morgan Nail on the right-hand side managed to just cross it in. And there was Sean Doyle, just dodged the ball, whether he meant to, but he sort of stepped down to just let the ball fly over. And there was Dan Simpson to come in and head it in. Ed Canner hit the bar. He could have had another, or he had a good attempt in the last sort of 5 minutes or so. And, you know, certainly Laxey had a couple of good chances. But Corinthians held out, big 3 points for them, and they'll just look back and say that maybe the last couple of games they've been a little bit lucky. So Ben Qualtrough will be working with the team to try and, you know, make things a little bit more positive, because they're certainly conceding some goals. Apologies for not getting Laxey's two goal scorers. Laxey hadn't put it through to me, and I didn't see them, so unfortunately I haven't got the names.
OK, staying at the top of the table, Peel travelled to Braddon to try and keep up pace with their Corinthians and 4-1 winners this afternoon.
Yeah, and I watched about 5 minutes of this through the bush, actually, because when George has finished, I just looked through the bushes to see what was going on, and it was all sort of Peel that were under pressure, and Castletown sort of were drooping off the pitch, and I just thought, that'll do for me. I'll head up and see what's going on at Bala Fletcher. But today they've done really well, and you know, take note from Peel, because 4-1 winners against Braddon, and it was Lee Gale with two, and evidently the first goal was near enough from the halfway line by Lee. So well done, Lee. Taylor Andrews got one, and Oscar Bignall got the other one. Dan Kinraid, the under 21 player of the month for December, I think it was, got the goal for Braddon. But, you know, Braddon will look at that and, okay, they've played against, you know, the team that are the champions from last year and looking pretty good for this year. So to lose 4-1, I don't think that's too bad.
Okay, Union Mills 3, Old Boys 2. Good battle here for Old Boys. You know, they're both down the bottom of the table. Old Boys just a little bit adrift from Braddon and Union Mills. It could have been an important point for them, but Union Mills just getting a bit of daylight there between the two bottom teams.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a bonus game today for Old Boys if they'd have won it. And it was really tight, because Old Boys, it was, took the lead through Matthew Milligan. And then it was Tyler Hughes got one, and Carl Uren got the other one. And I've got a bit of a match report if I can get up on here. There's a lot coming through, which is a new thing over the last few weeks. It's really good, actually, because we're getting the sort of information hot off the press. So let's have a look at this one. Douglas High School Old Boys started strong, keeping the young Mills defence. But after 10 minutes, Mills started coming into the game, with Tyler Hughes forcing Sam Halliday to palm the ball over the crossbar, and that was the start for Mills to get on top of Douglas High School Old Boys on 25 minutes. Matthew Milligan got that goal to put Union Mills one up, but although it rocketed Old Boys, they didn't let their heads drop, and on 33 minutes, Old Boys got a corner with Will Kearns taking it in. The ball looked like it was going goal-bound, but Martin King made sure it went into the back, with the ball glancing off the top of his head, bringing Old Boys level. But that didn't last long, as on 35 minutes, Union Mills got their second through a well-worked goal from Carl Uren, and that's how the first half finished, with Union Mills going in 2-1 up. Mills started the second half stronger, pushing Old Boys, but they took the pressure and started pushing back, with both teams pushing for the next goal. And that came on 79 minutes, with Tyler Hughes weaving through the Old Boys' defence to get Union Mills' third goal. But Old Boys still didn't give up. And on 88 minutes, Old Boys got their goal that they were looking for from a well-placed header from Robbie Ward. And with only minutes left, Old Boys pushed even further, but to no avail, as the referee blew for the full time and Union Mills taking all 3 points. Final score, Union Mills 3, Old Boys 2. Mills' goal scorers were Matthew Milligan, Carl Uren and Tyler Hughes. And for Douglas High School Old Boys, Martin King with a header, and Robbie Ward got the second one with a header as well. So Old Boys close. It was a big, big game for Old Boys, because if they got 3 points in that one, then it would have tightened it up big time against Union Mills. But it's a bit of a six-pointer, that one, I think. And, you know, Union Mills will be delighted. Why are you smiling?
I've just had another message in. Not only is Rob questioning your predictions as well, I've had a message in to say that Lee Gale's goal was from nowhere near the halfway line.
Well, I can only go what people tell me. But
25 yards at most, but a quality goal is the report I've got in here.
Okay.
Braddon played well and competed with Peel throughout as the rest of that message. Onken in a free scoring form at the moment, scored 6 last week, followed up with a 4-0 win at Rushen. Again, they're getting themselves right in that, you know, the chasing pack at the top of the Canada Life Premier League now. They're well in the mix with Laxian, Rushen and St Mary's.
Right, stick up for me here, Ben. I did say to Rob quite a while ago, well before Christmas, that I think Onken have been the standout side in the Premier League this year. You know, when you think it was only a couple of seasons ago, they were in Division 2, and I've watched them. They play some great football. They're only going to get better, and they're certainly the team to look out for. But, you know, today, he's probably been a little bit down on numbers in goals this season, and that's Andy Asbridge. But I think he got a couple last week. He certainly got 3 today. So well done to him. Ethan Levers as well, who's been standout player for them, got 1. But, you know, when you think of it, it's more incredible that Onken went down to 10 when Christian, his surname is, I don't know his first name, got sent off 2 yellow cards. So it had to be a red, and evidently maybe it was a yellow first, and then as he was going off or whatever, or Simbind, then he must have said something and then got a second yellow, and within 5 seconds he'd gone from a yellow to a red. So, you know, that's dissent and everything. But no, I think Onken are having an incredible season, and to beat Rushen 4-0, mm-hmm. and when you look at Rushen just below them in the league, they've done really well.
Okay, United 0, St John's 3 again. St John's picking up points just within touch and distance of the 4 teams we've just mentioned.
Yeah, and I've got a report here from St John's as well, and there's a right big argument on going, oh, Rob's sending me text messages now.
This is getting Rob, you're on holiday.
But certainly on this one, I'll let them argue it out who's scored goals in this one. I've got from one official person of St John's that it was 3-0 to St John's, and Reece Oates, Jamie Crook and Callum Taggart got a penalty. And then in another one, I've got an own goal by Jamie Callister, who I think, I'll guess this one, he certainly scored 1. I think this might be his 3rd own goal this season, but that's what happens when you're a centre-back. But Jamie Crook got 1 and Callum Taggart. So I work with Reece, so I can't sort of miss him out, but I don't think Reece has got this one. I think it might be an own goal, but we'll let the panel sort that one out. But 1-0 after 5 minutes, it says here. Reece Oates, 5 minutes in, drove into the box with a ball from the left-hand side and got a shot off the near post. Don't know where Jamie's name didn't come up in there, but we'll see. 2-0, 37 minutes. Good work by Joey Savage in the middle. Ball off to Callum Taggart in the right channel. With a cutback by Jamie Cook, who got 3 last week, 1 today, in the middle of the box and put it in the first touch. Half-time it was. Chances for air with a header by Jamie Callister against the bar and shot from outside of the box by Kelly. Sean Kelly with the latter well saved by Matty Beattie. St John's with further chances with an improved near pass shot by Aaron Babb, saved well. 3-0, 82 minutes. Callum Taggart drove in from the right hand side and was taken down in the box, stepped up and converted the penalty. Man of the match was Joey Savage, relentless in midfield and didn't lose a header. And well done to St John's, and well done to Matty, the assistant, for putting that report in. And Matty, I'll let you fight out if he scored or not.
the final game then in Canada Life Premier League was Rams against St Mary's. That was postponed, so we move on to Arden and Drugan Limited Division 2. Rams, the youth centre, Old Boys against Douglaston District, 5-1 to youth centre.
Yeah, and that's a great result for them. They bounced back, didn't they? Because last week they struggled and didn't happen. But today it was, Leighton Ballard got 1, Dylan Parrish on the score sheet, Will Smith, Will Lithgow, and Brody Cushore, I think it was, who got the other one. And let me just check on here, because Dave Matheson's usually very good for the goal scorers. And substitute Quirk with his first goal of the season. Captain Paul Gavin collided with our player Ryan Gilbert in the first half and came off as a tooth went through his lip. Ouch. Midfielder Ben Hall came off with a knee injury, so played with 10 men for a long period in that Division 2 game. So more incredible to contain Rams Youth Centre that, because they were 3-0 down at half time. But well done to Mark Quirk for getting that goal for D&D.
Okay, move on to Malou against Douglas Royal, which was also postponed today. Just a note on that, it's a couple of postponements we've mentioned. I think there's one later on the fixture list as well. Tony, how are things looking now? Because we're coming into that time of the year where it can sometimes, you have a couple of weeks written off quite quickly if we had a week, couple of weekends of poor weather, don't we?
Yeah, it does. And last time I counted up, Simon, we're about 85. I shall have another bash at it tonight. We've got a bit of work to do on the fixtures now, because we'll have the two cup draws to make very shortly. But, yeah, we're falling a bit behind. And, you know, Easter's early as well, isn't it? It's the first week of sort of April. So, yeah, it's a little bit of panic stations. We've certainly got to try and get some games in for Maroun. And, you know, people keep saying, what a big mistake you've made by making the Division Two sides play each other three times. I didn't make them. The clubs requested them to play three. And actually, when you look at it, over the whole sort of what should have happened, they would have played 24 anyway. So even with the extra games, they're only going to play three games more. So, you know, it's a little bit one of those. The teams just want to play. But like Maroun, they have played nine. When you look at Douglas and District, they've played 17 now, Douglas and District, I think.
Yeah, that'll be right.
You know, so it just shows you there's nothing you can do about it. It just happens. So there's going to be a lot of fixtures. And unfortunately, I thought Maroun might have got beat today by Colby, and that would have helped me with the fixtures with them. But it's the way it goes.
OK, move on to the next game then, which finished Governors Athletic 0, Pulrose 1. But a good showing from Governors Athletic this.
Governors have been knocking on the door the last couple of weeks, and I think Billy Sweeney's doing a really good job there, and the players as well. I struggle with the pronunciation of some of the names because, you know, they've got a lot of guys in there who have just joined the club, and they're doing really well over the last year, 2 years. And to, you know, okay, just lose out to Pulrose 1-0 is pretty good, and drew last week with Ramsey, who set it 2-2. So they're on the march, and hopefully they can climb up that league.
OK, move on to Canada Life Combination 1, and we start off with Peel against Braddon. Peel 14, Braddon 0.
Yeah, just to got some stats on this one, that's the 30th goal that Peel have scored in the last two games.
I thought it was 16 last
16
week.
16 last week, 14. I know you're a Peel guy. Billy Kenyuk with 4, Aaron Kirstein got 3, Ryan Tate with a couple of goals, Scott Horn with 2, Toby Little 2, and Jack Barber got the other one. Peel were 4-0 up after 11 minutes, and Billy Kenyuk had scored all his goals in them 11 minutes. That takes some doing, doesn't it? So well done,
not
Billy.
Not a bad day's work, though, is it?
Nice celebration for him. That's his 100th senior goal in senior Manx football. So well done, Billy. And Billy's only a young lad. And, you know, Peel's combi, all I can say to, you know, Corinthians, Ramsey, Russian, look out, because Peel are certainly on a charge here. And when you look at names like that, you know, Scott Horn, you've got Aaron Kirstein in there, Ryan Tate, Billy Kenyuk, they're banging form, and you know, Peel are really going well.
Okay, Douglas Sky School Old Boys 3, Union Mills 0.
Yeah, Jack Adams, a couple of goals. There's a good young player coming through. Callum Yates got the other one, but you know, well done to Douglas High School Old Boys. Their combination's looking pretty strong.
Another close game between Laxey and Corinthians. Corinthians on the winning side again, 4-3 this time.
Yeah, and it was Laxey were 2-1 up. Laxey were then 3-1 up. Sorry, I haven't got your scorers. If you can text us through, please, 166-177. But Corinthians played really well towards the end of the game. And another one of the rising young stars coming through the ranks, Caleb Hugill. He got a hat-trick. Well done, Caleb. Ben Ramsey as well in the combination today. He got one. Well done, Ben. So, you know, that's great. And there's been two great games this season, because I think Laxey beat Corinthians 6-5 earlier on in the season. And then today, Corinthians reversing the result, but still a 7-goal thriller, and two teams to watch.
And not a good day at the office for Russian. Lost in the first team as well to Onken, lost 4-2 in the combi to Onken as well. Both of those, would you class both of those as sort of upsets in the league? I think you probably would look at the league standings.
Yeah, I would do. And when I look at, you know, sort of Russian's combination, they've slipped up a couple of times this season. But, you know, Onken again, Onken came through 4-0 winners against Russian, but it's been corrected. Onken's combi was 5-2 winners, it said, but it was 4-2 at the first stage when we got the results through. But I can update you with the scorers. It was George F. Butler, he got 2. Billy Coulter, Sam Cox, and George Lees got the other one, who only turned 16 yesterday. I'll tell you what, the sub-16-year-olds coming through to play senior football, which is great to see. And by the look of them, they can all score goals because they're scoring for fun.
OK, A United 2, St John's 1.
And I think that's a turnaround score on that one as well. I thought St John's might have won that. Haven't got St John's scorer. But for Ayr United, it was two. Joseph Devaney got one. And Harry Reid got the other one. So good result for Ayr.
And top of the table, Ramsey is probably the big result in Combi 1 today. 6-2 to St Mary's this game finished.
Yeah, and he's rolling back the years here. He's not that old, but Alex Harrison, who, you know, is a tremendous footballer when he was younger. He's not that old now, but, you know, injuries sort of dogged him. I think it was his knees. And I know he's been threatening to come back. He's been training and stuff. And, you know, he scored a hat-trick today, so well done, Alex. But, you know, Jamie Skillen got one. Therese Thompson on the score sheet as well. Johnny Myers. You know, there's one of the top Ireland players there, still chipping away. Johnny's 40 years of age and scoring goals. But Ramsey will be disappointed with that. And that's Corinthians sort of clawed some points back, because Corinthians dropped 2 points last week against Old Boys. And here we are, Ramsey have dropped 3 points against St Mary's. So what an interesting battle that's turning out in the Cannon Life Combi One.
I move on to Arden and Drungan. Limited Combination 2, one of the big stories of the day coming up in this division. We'll go to that game. Last, Douglas and District 0, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 11.
Yeah, and Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys, you know, Combi 2, we touched on it last night, how strong they're looking, because they're only third in the league. But Martin Murphy with 7 goals for Ramsey Youth Centre. Aaron Broad got a couple. Ivan Johnston on the score sheet, and Adrian Scarabucci got the other one, so great result of that for Ramsey Youth Centre against D&D.
Well, up to second now on goal difference after today's results, and a game in hand over Paul Rose, so could easily finish top. Still coming well in the mix there.
Yep.
Michael 2, Jim's 4.
Yep, and for Michael it was Jack Hogg got one of the goals, and Nathan Farragher got the other one. Haven't got Jim's goal scorers.
And we'll go on to we'll come back to the game in a second. Douglas Athletics 6, Castletown 3.
Yeah, I haven't got Athletics scorers, but for Castletown, and thanks for Castletown and phoning through the result, was Finn Mulligan. He got one. Mohamed Anz Harun got his name on the score sheet as well. And Liam Crawley, I think it was, who got a goal. That's Alex's brother, I think it is. So Castletown, 3 goals. You think you'd be in it, but no, Athletic won it 6-3 after being 6-1 up at half-time.
Last game then of the day, Douglas Royal against Maloo, finished 3-3. There's footage of this on Maloo's social media if you want to find it. A last minute equaliser from goalkeeper Tom Crosby, we believe it was.
Yeah, and I was speaking to Jordan down at the match, and he just said what an incredible turnaround that was, because it was 1-0 to Maloo at half time. It was for Douglas Royal. We've got Jacob Livingston got 2. And then Harry McKenzie, I think, scored one on his debut. He's only 16 years of age, so well done to him. But, you know, absolutely sort of brilliant game to watch. It was ding-dong. I watched Maloo score a goal. It might have been that winner at the end, I think, or the draw, 3-3 at the end. And it was like a pitch invasion, so it meant an awful lot to them. If I can, Simon, just go back, because I've missed a report, and you know, these people put a lot of time and effort in, and it's actually nice to get some meat to the bones. I've just had a text through as well that it was definitely Reece Oates that scored for Peel. Right, OK, Jamie Carlos will be happy enough with that one. But where are we, Dean? You're down here, so there you are. Spot on, thank you. Dean Turton's report was, this is Colby and Maroun in the GH Call at Woods Cup. It was a lively first half with Colby starting brighter, Collister a threat down the right, and Hickey somehow clearing the fence with a volley early on. Maroun grew into it and took the lead on 37 minutes after a calamitous blind throw out from the Colby keeper was seized on by Michael Hughes, who squared for Connor Gilbert to tap in at the back post. Colby then hit the post through Collister, but the ball went straight up to the other end, and a pinball in the box, and Gilbert volleyed home in the second to make it 2-0 at the break. Colby flew out of the traps after half-time, hit the bar through Ollie Edge, and finally pulled one back on 66 minutes when Steve Collister finished a sharp counter-attack. The final 20 minutes were frantic with chances at both ends, but Maroun keeper Harry Horbury stood firm as they held on to get themselves in the hat for the quarter-final door with a 2-1 win. Thanks for that, Dean, for that report.
Fantastic. Thanks very much, Tony. And let's move on then to the cup draw. The first cup draw that we're doing this evening is the GH Corlett Woods Cup. This is the quarterfinals. So 8 teams in the hat, 4 games. Is that what we're looking for, Tony?
That's what we're looking for. And Ben is going to do the honours for us. These games will be played on Saturday, the 21st of February. So we've got about a month to wait. Let's get this draw done, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of conversation with the teams after this.
Number two.
And number two is a home game for Douglas Royal.
And they will play number six.
Number six is Paul Rose.
Number eight.
Number eight, won today, St George's.
Against number five.
Number five is Maroun.
Four.
Number four is Malou.
Against number one.
And number one is Douglas and District.
Number seven.
Number seven. Ramsey, you sent it. All boys and hopefully last one.
Number three.
And number three is Governors Athletic, who played each other last week. So I'll just mention that draw again. The first one out of the hat was Douglas Royal against Paul Rose. Then St George's will play Maroun. Malou at home against Douglas and District, and Ramsey Youth Centre will play Governors at home.
Pick of those ties then, Tony, first thoughts?
It's a tough one, really, because, you know, Paul Rose today only just beat Governors against Douglas Royal. Douglas Royal obviously didn't play. You go for Pulley, I think, just to win that. St George's against Maroun, I think Maroun will be strong enough to win that one, even if St George's got the star boys back. Malou against Douglas and District. The way Douglas and District played last week, you wouldn't bet against them. So maybe Malou to go into the semi-final. And then Ramsey Centre and Old Boys against Governors. Two impressive results in the last 2 weeks. And look out for them. But I'd just go for Ramsey Centre just to sneak it.
All right, Tony, thank you very much. Is that you with another draw to do?
The 18s FA Cup. And we need to get this one started shortly because the league is coming to an end. In this, there's 8 teams in the bag, I think, Ben. And yep. This is the first round because there's 8 teams. We go 8-4-2. So it's straight through to this one.
Number two.
And number two is probably one of the favourites, Douglas High School All Boys.
Number eight.
And they will play Russian.
Number seven.
Number seven is Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys.
Against number four.
Number four, Governors Athletic.
Number one.
Number one is Corinthians, who just lost out in the league this week.
Number five.
And they will play Laxey.
Number three.
And number three is Foxdale, and probably the favourites.
Number six.
And number six is Onken, who after winning the league midweek, probably the favourites. So the draw for the under-18s FA Cup, Douglas High School Old Boys against Russian. Ramsey Youth Centre will play Governors Athletic. Corinthians at home against Laxey. And Foxdale at home against Onken. These games will be played on dates to be arranged. So Wednesday evening, and probably start them in a couple of weeks after half term.
All right, Tony, thank you very much. We will recap those fixtures towards the end of the programme for the GH Corlett Woods Cup quarterfinals and the under-18s FA Cup first round. They'll also be available at manxradio.com early next week for you to have a look at. We will go over to Dave Christian, look back at rugby, and then Ben Cunningham will join me to look at hockey. And we've got another 6 draws to do in hockey a little bit later on in the programme.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed.
24 minutes away from 6 o'clock. Let's say good evening to Dave Christian.
Yeah, good evening, Simon. It's been a very busy day for us today with 3 teams away, Vagabonds Ladies, Ramsey and Douglas, and Vagabonds at home. We'll start with Douglas in Regional 2 Northwest. They were sitting in 4th place. Remember, they were top of the table at the end of November, lost 3 out of 3 in December. Picked up a valuable win last week, and today we were away at Winnington Park. And Douglas really looking to pick up some points here. They did, but it was the wrong kind of point they got. They got a losing bonus point. They went down 24-19 there. 17-10 at half time. There was a first half try from Ollie Corkish that was converted from Matty Wood, and he also added a penalty. He got three more penalties in the second half, but it wasn't enough to catch Winnington Park. Now, what does that mean in the table? Well, Douglas actually gained a place. They're up into third place now. Rivals Vale of Lune lost today away at Sandbach. So Douglas are now in third place. They have a game in hand. And we've been talking about this game in hand for a little while. It will actually be played next Saturday. It's away at Burnage. And Burnage aren't very far away from Douglas in the table. This is going to be no pushover by any stretch. Burnage are currently in sixth place. They've won 8 from 14. Douglas are in third place, won 9 from 14. So there's not that much between them. But a 5-point win for Douglas, that's 4 tries or more plus a win, will take them on to 53 championship points, which will put them in third place still, but only just a point behind Sandbach, who are ahead of them. But Douglas have had Sandbach visit the island already. They won at Portishee, and Douglas lost away at Sandbach as well. So it's not looking particularly promising for Douglas, but they are not out of the equation by any stretch. So watch this space. It's next week away at Burnage. In County 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire, 2 defeats, 1 close, 1 not so close. I was at Bala Fletcher, where League Leaders Fleetwood beat Vagabonds 41-7. That keeps Fleetwood on top of the standings, but the Chase and Pack do have games in hand. But today, Fleetwood were pretty much unstoppable in most departments. The only time Vagabonds really got on top was in the set-piece scrummage. And the league leaders took the lead early on. I think 7 minutes in, Keegan Pavard went over for a try. And there were further tries from Brett Whitehead, Max Bailey and Chris Jones, all before half-time. Tom Evans converted 2 of those 4 tries for a 24-0 half-time lead. Early in the second half, Kieran Butler and Tommy Hibbert both went over for Fleetwood. And before Vagabonds hit back, and it was their dominant scrummage that paved the way for it, earned them a penalty try when they were pushing Fleetwood back over their own line. There was no big Vagabonds comeback, though. Jacob Brocklehurst went in for a try for Fleetwood, and that ended all resistance. It's no great movement for Vagabonds. They remain next to bottom of the table, Ramsey just underneath them as well. And they will be playing in the lower division when the league splits after the fixtures have all been played. So I think the first fixtures from after the league splits into 2 is on the 14th of February. Vagabonds have a bye. Ramsey will have Duckinfield at the Murrick Park. Ramsey this afternoon went to Oldham with not much to lose and actually led for much of the first half when the Josh Cateen try put them in front. Oldham, however, pulled back 2 more tries just before half-time and led 12-5 at the break. Scott Neal touched down for Ramsey early in the second half. Dan Kelly converted and that levelled the score at 12-12. But Oldham ran in 2 more tries before a late Jake Richmond try got Ramsey back into the game and give them a sniff of a losing bonus point. But Oldham denied them that, though, with a late penalty to pull them away to more than the 7 points required for that losing bonus point. 2 yellow cards for Ramsey today probably cost them a little bit. And Braden Roach with 1. He hung onto the ball on the ground when he was isolated and it looked like a score was inevitable. And a late one from Dan Kelly, who just tip-tackled an Oldham attack. And he earned himself a 5-minute early finish. And Ramsey finished the game with 14 men. So disappointment for both sides in Counties 3. But the real battle will start on the 14th of February when the lower division kicks off. And both teams now have a little bit of a break for a couple of weeks. And finally, we've got Vagabonds Ladies. They were away at Didsbury Tock H this afternoon. And they lost 32-24. Women's rugby is a little bit intermittent with fixtures and Vagabonds can count themselves very unlucky to get 2 away games back to back. The star for Vagabonds today, it wasn't Freya Crowe. Her record is broken. She has now not scored in every game this season, but the star was Lauren Ellison. She led the way for Vaggers with 2 tries. Other scores came from Lois Mooney, B. O'Neill, and birthday girl Sammy McDonald added 2 conversions to celebrate her 50th. Vagabonds remain fourth in the standings, but most of the women's games are played on Sundays, so that fourth place is pending tomorrow's results. Simon.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed.
Thanks very much, Dave. 19 minutes to six. Well, we've got a lot to do here, Ben, haven't we, really? We've got six draws to do across the Men's and Ladies Cup, Plate and Bowl. But let's start with the fixtures first of all. The Men's Premier League is where we'll begin. And a convincing win for Castletown A against Vikings B, 5-0.
Yeah, Andy Winstanley with two goals, George Powell with one, Robbie Villerga with one, and Alistair Ledgers with one, giving Castletown A that fantastic win over Vikings B.
Backers A, Harlequins A, tight game. Backers just edging this one 3-2.
Yeah, really close game this, and I caught the end of it, and it was 2-2 with the last touch of the game and Andy Whiten finding the crucial goal. Andy Whiten with two and Tom Lotham with one for Backers A, and for Quins it was Alfie Swales and Tom Hurd.
Valkyries A, Vikings A, finished 3-1 to Vikings.
Yeah, and that was goal scorers for Vikings A were Tom Burrows, Archie Cayley and Josh Knighting. And the consolation for Valkyries A came from Kieran Gell.
OK, we move on to the Ladies Premier League. It was a big win for Valkyries A, 7-0 against the B team of Castletown.
Yeah, great win there for Valkyries A. Ellen Robinson with three, Ellen Cleeter with one, Andrea Littlejohn with one, Becky Pate with one and Jess Loder with one.
Harlequins A, nil, Backers A, three.
Yeah, a good game. This is the one we covered for Saturday Live. Leah Mellor with two and Sophie Hudson with one.
And the final game in Ladies Premier League, Castletown A5, Vikings A0.
Yeah, the league holders can start their season on a high with a 5-0 win over Vikings A. Kira Cooper with two, Alex Caller with one, Abby Sutterby with one and Faith Watson with one.
I'll move on to Men's Division 1. There is one game in Men's Division 1 still underway. That got underway about 40 minutes ago at 5 past 5, so obviously we won't have a result for that. That's Harlequins B against Ramsey A. The two games we do have results for, Backers B 1, Valkyries B 0.
Yeah, really close game, and in my preview I did say I think these two are going to be the two title contenders, and Backers B coming away with the win thanks to Gareth Craig goal.
Okay, Valkyries C 5, Castletown B 1.
Yeah, and if I can find my result for that one, it was for Valkyries, it was Russ Miller, Johnny Kane, Caleb Quayle, Mark Perryman and Danny Liminoso. And then for Castletown B, it was Mark Corlett.
And in Ladies Division 1, no separating Valkyries B and Backers B, playing at a 2-2 draw.
Yeah, I umpired this game this morning. It was a really good game, end-to-end stuff. Sienna Millwall with both goals for Backers B and Ria Maher with both goals for Valkyries B.
And it was Valkyries C who came out the victors against Backers C, the 1-0 win.
Yeah, that is actually Castletown C against Backers C. I think I've got that as a misprint on the sheet. But yeah, it was Danny Kane with the goal that gave Backers to give Castletown C that victory over Backers C. So 1-0 to Castletown Ladies C.
And again, no separating Vikings B and Ramsey A. 1-1 that game finished.
Yeah, really close game this one from the sounds of the report I've got through. Alfie Cooper, Aoife Cooper for Vikings B and Sarah Bull for Ramsey A.
And we move on to Men's Division 2, three high-scoring games here. We'll start off with Vikings C, Ramsey B, which finished 5-3 to the Northern team.
Yeah, even it was 5-3 to Vikings C, and it was Ian Perry, Richie Gelder, Patrick Williams and Theo Robbins with two goals. And then for Ramsey B, it was Dan Cross, Tom Howard and Jed Dixon-Howell.
I'll correct my notes. I'm not going to be very popular in the Vikings season. Vikings C5, Ramsey P3.
No, I better make sure I get that one right.
Harlequins C, Backers C was the next game finished. Backers 5, Harlequins 1.
Yeah, no scorer for Harlequins C, but for Backers C, it was Christian Davies with two, Dan Stevenson with one, Jazz Slate with Singer with one, and Dave Wiseman with one.
And the final game in Men's Division 2, Backers Colts 4, Castletown C 1.
Yeah, no goal scorer for Castletown C, but the goal scorers for Backers Colts were Dave Neal with two, Ryan Cartwright with one, and Jasper Whaley with one.
And just the two games in Ladies Division 2, Harlequins B 1, Valkyries C 1.
Lara Smith for Harlequins B and Finn Martin for Valkyries C.
and a comprehensive win for Ramsey B, who were 5-0 victors against Viking C.
Yeah, and that was Isa Rolzo with 3, Becky Weirman with 1, and Autumn Riley with 1.
And we have now had the results for the Mixed Under-15s League. The first fixture there finished Valkyries 2, Vikings 4.
I knew you would go for the one that I wasn't on. it was Emily Miller Moyer with 1 and Saoirse Gell with 1 for Valkyries, and Theo Roberts with 2, Emily Jacobs with 1, and James Baker with 1 for Vikings Under-15s.
And the final game is, seems like a tight game between Castletown Sabres and Backers. It was Castletown Sabres who won 3-2.
Yeah, Scarlett Crompton Harvey with 1, Adam Eels with 1, and Alfie Vivian with 1 for Castletown Sabres. And then the Backers goal scorers were Carter Whitehead and Grace Evans.
Okay, Ben, thank you very much. That's a review of today's hockey fixtures. Let's move on to the draws then. Now, there's 6 of these in total. It's the Men's Cup, Ladies' Cup, Men's Plate, Ladies' Plate, Men's Bowl and Ladies' Bowl. These fixtures will all be played on the 31st of January. So let's do the Men's Cup first, Ben. And Tony's hung around here to reciprocate and do your draw. So yep. If you could just explain what we're going to do here, so, and Tony can pick the teams.
So we've got 6 teams in the Men's Cup, and it'll be 2 matches drawn with 2 teams getting byes. So, Tony, when you are ready.
No problem. First one out of the bag, number 3.
Number 3 is Harlequins A.
And they will play number 5.
Who are Vikings A.
And the second game is number 4.
Which is Valkyries A.
And the next one is number 1.
Against Backers A, meaning byes for...
Number 6 and number 2.
Number 6, which is Vikings B and Castletown A.
Okay.
So the next draw, we've got another 6 teams. This is the Ladies' Cup. Again, 2 ties to be drawn and 2 byes. So when you're ready, Tony.
Will do. First one out is number 3.
Number 3 is Castletown Ladies B.
And they will play number 2.
Castletown Ladies A.
Next game is number 1.
Is Backers Ladies A.
And they will play number 5.
Which is Valkyries Ladies A, meaning byes for numbers four and six, which are Harlequins A and Vikings Ladies A. So the next draw, we need 5 teams. This is the Men's Plate. And there'll be 1 tie drawn and 3 byes. So when you are ready, Tony.
Okay. Number 5.
Number 5 is Valkyries Men's B.
And they will play number 4.
Ramsey Men's A, meaning byes for Harlequins B, Castletown B, and Backers Men's B. So the next draw is the Ladies' Plate. 6 teams in this, so we have 2 draws and 2 byes. And when you are ready again.
First one out, number 6.
Number 6 is Vikings Ladies B.
We'll play number 2.
Which is Backers Ladies C.
Number 4.
Number 4 is Ramsey Ladies A.
And they will play number 3.
Number 3, which is Castletown Ladies C, meaning byes for number 1 and number five, which are Backers Ladies B and Valkyries Ladies B. Onwards to the Men's Bowl. We need 6 teams for this one. And again, it'll be 2 draws and 2 byes. So when you are ready.
Okay. Number 5.
Number 5 is Ramsey Men's B.
Against number 1.
Against Backers Men's C.
Second game, number 4.
Is Harlequins Men's B. Harlequins Men's C.
And they will play number 3.
Which is Castletown Men's C, meaning byes for number 6. Which is Vikings Men's C, and number 2, which is Backers Men's Colts. So the final draw is the Ladies' Bowl, and it's 4 teams in this one. So I think this one won't take place on the 31st, because this is going to go straight into a semi-final stage. So okay. When you're ready, Tony.
Okay, number 2.
Number 2, Ramsey Ladies B.
Game against number 3.
Against number 3, which is Valkyries Ladies C.
And the last one, number 4.
Number 4, Vikings Ladies C.
Against number 1.
Against number 1, which is Castletown Ladies D.
Okay, thank you very much, Tony. Some initial reaction to those draws then, Ben, and I must admit I ran out of paper, so I couldn't write them all down. But I do remember that in the Ladies' Cup, the Castletown derby between the A and the B team is probably the takeaway across those draws, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. The Castletown Ladies' Derby in the Ladies' Cup, will be an interesting one for sure. Looking at the Men's Cup, of course, you've got Harlequins Men's B against Vikings Men's A. That could be an interesting game. And then, of course, you've got Valkyries Men's A against Backers Men's A. That could be interesting as well. In the men's plate, that one fixture, which is Valkyries Men's B against Ramsey Men's A, that could be a very interesting one. They are probably two title contenders in that Men's Division 1 league. The ladies' plate, again, they are looking really close. And I think, to be honest with you, the rest of the fixtures are all looking really close. I think, Tony, you have done a very good job here.
So everyone's going to go home happy tonight.
Yes.
All right, both, thank you very much. Just a reminder, those games, certainly the Men's Cup, Ladies' Cup, Men's Plate, Ladies' Plate and Men's Bowl, we played on the 31st of January. A TBC by the fixture for the Ladies' Bowl, with it going straight to the semi-final stage then.
Yeah, so all the fixtures now go to the fixture secretary, and he will appoint them to locations and times. And as soon as we've got them out, we'll get them out to clubs.
Okay, Ben Cunningham, Tony Meppen, thank you very much for your help this evening. Dave Christian as well. And, of course, sports editor Rob Pritchard, who, despite not being here, we know was listening. And we'll make sure that he calls Tony's mistakes out on air. So thank you for that, Rob. Don't forget, this will be available to listen to as a podcast very shortly at manxradio.com. Details of today's results, fixtures for those draws as well across football and hockey, available at manxradio.com and the Manx Radio Sport Facebook page very shortly. But with the time at 7 minutes to 6, we will hand you back to Manx Radio Gold.